You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 14 for early November 2010.
Welcome, everybody, to the Green Lantern Corecast. I am Frank Mateo, your host. Joining me today are Brandon West, Kuhan, and Colton. Shortcast, not enough people, but you know what? Let's have a ball with it now, shouldn't we? All right, today we're covering three issues that came out. The three issues that previously came out was Brightest Day, Green Lantern Emerald Warriors, and Rebels. Because, you know, in Rebels, there's some Green Lantern showing up.
Woo!
And of course, Calden is very excited about it. It gives us more of a chance to start reading more of Rebels, which isn't a bad book. I mean, Tony Bedard is still doing his thing, and he's doing Green Lantern Corps right now, so we have to give it up to Tony Bedard. Let's start off with Brightest Day, seeing that it's still a Green Lantern-related book, but mostly Hawk people. I know Brandon's excited about it. I mean, has everything he likes. Hawkman, Hawkwoman, Hawk Egyptian queen lady with metal things.
Hawk and Dove?
It's just what we wanted.
No
hawks and doves. But plenty of hawk.
No doves, just hawks.
No doves. No peace. Just hawks.
Raging hawks everywhere.
Whoa.
Okay, no need to go there, Colton.
Come on.
No need.
Come on.
Anyway, so get into the issue. Again, it's mostly a hot centric issue again, mainly because we haven't seen them for such a long time in the Brightest Day books, and I, for one, was ecstatic about it. So we're coming into the entire ordeal of Hawkman having to get back to Shire Hall and learning the deep truth of her mother. Now, here's the funny part about that. Apparently, the deep truth about her mother is that she just wanted more stuff. So she captured a planet to get more stuff. Did everybody else see that train of thought that was happening in this issue, right?
It's guys, Silver Age logic.
For guys in... what is it? It's the midlife crisis.
Right.
And for women, it's menopause.
I'm not sure those two things are comparable.
I forget what the queen's name. What's the queen's name again?
Queen, no one gives a shit.
Shit has eternal menopause. Is that what you're telling me, Brandon?
I think she was going through
PMS pause.
It's been what, 70 years worth of loneliness or a sense of
70 years. Wait a second. Did you tell me 70 years?
Shouldn't it be longer?
I mean, wasn't she like an Egyptian queen, and then she's like a ruler of a planet?
Didn't you watch Yu-Gi-Oh? It's 5,000 years.
No, it couldn't be. No. It's gotta be smaller than that because they haven't been. The math is irrelevant. The point is, the point is that this mom needs adventure. I guess that's what she was looking for. And,
so are you telling me her marriage was just not giving the old fire to the loins that they once were?
She killed her husband.
Yeah, her daughter was less than ecstatic, so she couldn't live her life vicariously through her. So she had to, of course, kill her husband. But that was not enough to satisfy the quench.
Did you say vicariously
He said vicariously, you idiot.
Oh.
Yeah, vicariously.
And, aw. I don't know. I'm pretty sure.
I'm disappointed.
I like to think of myself as a smart guy. But
Continue.
Ramp is very smart, man.
Thank you.
No problem.
Did anyone else read this like it was some incestual romance story? It was weird.
I think it just hopped up on Arrested Development.
Probably. But
how was it incestual?
Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
They're not related.
They are related.
Not by blood.
It's like a marriage thing.
His dad, they've always been husband and wife. Her mom.
They were married after their kids fell in love with each other.
So it's not incest, technically.
It is incest.
No. It's like stepbrother, stepsister.
They're not related by blood.
That's still incest.
That's not incest. They were
doing the romance first.
They're not cousins.
It's not legal when you're a child.
But they're not.
Okay?
They're not.
Have a crush on your cousin is not the same thing as...
They're not cousins.
They're not cousins. They fell in love, and then their parents met, and they're like, oh, hey, we can get married, and then they got married.
It was the thing. They weren't old when they were in love. So it was like...
Just think about it this way. There's no need for in-laws.
Still, they
it's disgusting. It's disgusting. I'm watching Gossip Girl.
Wait, pause!
Did you just say you watch Gossip Girl?
Yeah, come on.
I think Colton said he watches Gossip Girl.
Barely.
Colton said. West watches Dawson's Creek religiously.
Pause, granddad.
Are we sure he's not a teenage white girl?
I don't think we're sure about that. Anyways, Let's say that your parents...
Okay, we're not getting into the incestual relationship anymore, because that's getting way off topic. So we're going to go back into topic of the book itself, even though, again, the incestual thing actually makes it more interesting. But still, the book itself, stuff happened. What was the guy's name again?
Half-Set.
Yeah, Half-Set. He gets killed in this issue. So, you know, a major player in the Hawkeye universe who got murdered.
His role was entirely pointless.
Oh, yeah, his role was to, you know, his original role was to always kill the Hawks once they find each other, you know, given time through the century. So I guess it's the weirdest thing, seeing that in this story it explains that he gained immortality to bang Shiera's mom and then kill her kids, you know, her daughter and her stepson over and over again through time.
Was he pre-existing character or did he just appear in Brightest Day?
Half-Set?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's pre-existing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's been there for a while. I'm not sure.
I hate the Hawks,
because I just have a mental image of him just being created for the book just to be killed off without doing anything.
He was created by Gardner Fox, so...
Yeah.
He's been around since the 40s.
He's super old. Yeah.
Anyway. Issue itself, I would say it's one of those. If you like the Hawks, go for it. It's one of, you know, it gives you male testosterone up the ass with Carter Hall. I mean, he's coming in there, shirts ablazing, you know, golden gauntlet with, you know, fuchsia jewelry. It's cool. Yeah, it's cool. Gets to do a bit of stuff. The Queen, of course, gets good lickings in. Awkwardly. But yeah, you know, good stuff. Good stuff all around.
Oh, and how about that Zamaron?
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Again, thinking about all the hot stuff, the one thing I did forget about this issue.
The
one Green Lantern-related thing in this entire issue is that apparently, for the life of me, I don't know why, the Queen wants to invade Zamaron.
Just as they get the Predator. Talk about a battle you can't win.
It's a battle you can't win. Regardless, I mean, they have extraordinary power rings against dudes with feathers.
But you get my point that an already tough situation was just badly timed.
Oh yeah, I can see that. What do you guys think?
Didn't read it
at all.
Thank you for the input.
You dropped it. Yeah.
Go on there.
Drop that book in issue 5.
Brandon?
He's so proud of it. I didn't have a problem with the ending. Oh, let me scratch that. I did have a problem with the ending because the ending sucked, and any reference to Batman should be, you know, never happened in the first place. So I'm going to pretend that Batman never showed up. But as far as the Zamorin thing goes, I'm interested to see where it goes. I thought the timing was pretty good, seeing as we just wrapped up that part in Green Lantern. So it'll be interesting to see where Johns and Tomasi do with Carol and Brightest Day. But I don't have anything else to say about the Hulks in their disgusting ways.
All right, so we'll move on. Move on to Rebels number 22 with the two rookie Green Lanterns having to deal with Viral Dox's entire organization.
It's like a buddy cop show.
It's a weird buddy cop show.
It's like the Rorschach and Deadpool show.
Are we plugging just a random guy right now?
Is he paying us right now?
Is he paying us?
I should ask him if he can pay us. This episode brought to you by Andrew ADB, because he's so much better than just some random guy. Yeah, that's right.
All right. He is the prince of the universe.
So getting on topic, it's Rebels number 22. Again, this is an issue after the Guardians of the Universe make their appearance in the last issue, where they accuse Gorius, the female Scion character, the Green Lantern character, for causing mass genocide. Was it mass genocide again?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so pretty much this is the explanation as to that huge blow-up. It's one of the weirdest things, because, again, the character was just introduced, and, you know, not a bad character, and then, so you know, she's responsible for mass genocide.
Totally deserved, by the way.
Yeah, apparently, you know, reading the issue, it's pretty much deserved. Apparently, the male Scions, all being the dicks that they are, and remember, blew up the planet
Tamaran,
where our favorite green-eyed, orange-skinned, and full-figured resident alien of the Legion. And they're a bunch of dicks, apparently, who apparently enslave their females or kill them at birth, because, again, apparently females are inferior.
It was glorified sex slavery. It was horrible.
Yeah, that's another thing Bedard's trying to portray in the book, how it's inhumane. It's one of the worst things that could possibly happen to a person, you know, female or otherwise.
And we learn that their species has room for compassion, but the males are keeping the only ones that are compassionate down.
The sad part is I didn't finish reading the issue, so I pretty much stopped at the part where they figured out that the female Scions were actually being enslaved and used for the pleasurement of the male Scions, who are, again, assholes. Colin, fill us in on the rest of it.
All right. From what we learn, the whole slavery issue turns out to be not so bad as, Starfire can really relate.
Wait. Okay, I'm pretty sure Colton just said slavery is not so bad.
No, not at all. That's the stuff.
Yeah, actually, you did say that.
You basically said those words exactly.
Exactly.
What I was trying to imply was that Starfire understands her particular situation because she went through the horrors herself, and then what they end up doing, which is basically just going nuts and killing them all.
So they propagated mass genocide.
Well, they were going to try to save the females, but one of the guys who did survive decided that he'd rather kill all the females than let them get away. So he blows up the entire containment thing.
Ouch.
So this one dying guy basically kills off a good portion of their female population.
Ouch.
Although we do find out that they have several of these things across the planet, and they were lucky they didn't explore it further, apparently, because they're creating some kind of new species, it seems.
So the Scions are creating a new species?
As they refer to them, prototype units, but they're not
so
they are.
So they have more concentration camps or more females?
More breediaries. I'm not sure what the terminology is for that.
I think it's concentration camp.
It will be a concentration camp, but it'll also be a breeding camp. Also, that's what you refer to.
So when I look at the clone things that they seem to have in the thing, they almost kind of look like a more slimmed down Lobo, which is a really disturbing thought.
So they're Khazarians?
They might be. They kind of have the eyeshadow thing comes on with the same kind of color hair and the pale skin.
I think it's pronounced Zarnian, but yeah.
Zarnian, yeah, that's correct.
Not Khazarian.
I was just about to say, what the fuck is a Khazarian?
There's a C in front of it.
There's also an N in the middle.
Oh, so they're the Kiss Army. That's what they are. Oh, I get it.
Exactly.
I see it now. They're the Kiss Army.
Huh. But yeah, you could... That
makes so much sense.
But yeah, Vril Dox almost kept this contract with these people who, they had ended up finding out that, Vril took a contract with the, Cylons, but he, decided to cancel it in light of, Starfire's reaction to that news. Is it his humanity, or is it just another scheme that he figured he could afford to lose the Cylons in exchange for keeping Starfire? Maybe it's a little bit of both, but it certainly is interesting what, the Cylons are gonna end up doing with this new species, or maybe old species, and, if Vril can end up stopping this assumed threat.
Interesting. I mean, I love to see how the rest of this book plays out. I mean, these two new rookie Green Lanterns are actually, you know, growing on me.
I find that a lot of people actually say that. I mean, they kind of start off, you know, you don't know anything about them, they make mistakes, but they're rookies. And so...
Yeah, that's the greatest thing about them. Again, it's like, you know, rookie Green Lanterns are always good to see. New characters, you know, progression is always a great thing to see. So.
And they're definitely not your normal Green Lanterns because they grew up in two completely different worlds from what you'd normally see from a Green Lantern.
Right.
I mean, Okarin and the Cylon homeworld, both not fun places.
Not one that, you know, human minds can imagine. Yet they can. Kuan, have you read this issue or Brandon?
No.
Okay.
No.
So neither of you guys actually read this issue. So basically,
I blame you for all the hatred in the world.
Let's actually, you know, plug this up better for the audience. This, you know, we at the Green Lantern Corecast love this book. Tony Bedard being a, you know, household name in our channels, you know, always visiting us, loves the fact that we love this book.
I love this book. At least I can say that. Unlike some people.
I'm not lying about it. I didn't read it.
glare.
No need for that. All right, so let's move on to Cream of the Crop here. The much-anticipated Green Lantern Emerald Warriors number 4 with our boy, our golden boy,
Sodom Yat,
on front cover, or unless you bought the you know, variant cover with the handsome mug of Kilowog on it. Yeah, you pick and choose. Again, Emerald Warriors number 4, continuing on with the incursion on the Daxam homeworld. We begin with the whole apparently interrogation scene where Sodom Yat's father is torturing a man just so they can throw his son back into the sun so they can all get superpowers.
Dick.
What a father.
Dick.
Guy Gardner and his team and his ragtag team of miscreants burst in, taking names and punching out Sodom Yat's father twice.
Man, Arisia is just punching the shit out of everyone she can.
She's got problems.
She's getting punch happy. She's getting really punch happy.
She's angry.
Someone needs to put her in her place.
I don't know. I mean,
the woman's place. I see.
Hey,
yeah, the kitchen. She needs to go back to the kitchen.
Oh, damn it!
Hey. Just saying.
Damn it, Kuan.
She needs to be back playing with her Barbie dolls. Ain't she like 16?
She needs to be working at her gender-equal job where she wears a business suit.
No, I think she needs to go back to the kitchen.
All right, then. Continuing on, the rest of the issue is basically, you know, the learning of what's going on in the unknown sectors. And the fact that Sodom Yat takes his people, a portion of the Daxam people, off-world to a new planet where he apparently redesigns his Green Lantern symbol to a stick figure.
The Vitruvian Man.
Yes, the sequel to the follow-up to the creative Kyle Rayner's Ion becomes the least creative being in the universe. Ta-da!
It's the Vitruvian Daxamite, I guess. He's like recreating works of art here, man. It's like Leonardo da Vinci Next thing you know, it's gonna be like a freaking melting clocks on his chest.
Come on. sometimes a stick figure is just a stick figure.
He just went on like this big speech about how this stick figure is not just a stick figure.
Yeah,
he's wrong. It is just a stick figure.
He went on a tirade saying how this is the most greatest representative of a symbol that it can ever be conceived.
Well, that's because these people have no imagination and suck ass.
So I was reading this, and I'm thinking to myself, I wouldn't be too happy that this guy just burned a little emblem into my only pair of clothes now.
Bastard. That was a nice pair of pants.
Yeah, like,
this is all I have, and you just destroyed it.
Around there were ecstatic about it. You saw that dude standing there with his son going like, yeah!
Yes.
I just want to say this is a really, really, really good issue 2.
Yeah, issue 2.
Everything that happens in each issue happens in the next issue. There's a little bit of flying, it's a little bit of fighting, there's a brief glimpse at the villain. And there's a lot of talk.
No, but there was actually some progression here.
So, issue 1.5?
For the matter that they finally caught up with the rookie Green Lanterns that are being mind-controlled.
At the end of the issue.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, are they supposed to be? Well, I know they're supposed to be rookies because it says rookie Lanterns, but, you know, they got all the symbols there.
Finally got their badges, and they're still rookies.
Guess
or
so.
It's inconsistent art, maybe.
I didn't see badges.
No, we've seen enough. We've seen them with their symbols more than once, so it can't be inconsistent.
Just saying.
The rest of the story is pretty flimsy for me for some reason. You know, the fact that Gardner goes off to that planet. To find that Rachnia Moore, or however you pronounce it, interrogate some dude, and then goes, "All right, let's bounce."
I like that scene.
In the atmosphere, out of the atmosphere.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
The atmosphere,
breathable, the breathable, unbreathable. Breathable, unbreathable.
That's horrible to do to someone.
It was horrible.
Man,
no, that was amazing.
Deserved.
That was so great.
No, even if he does survive this situation, he will have permanent brain damage from that shit.
Do you think Gardner cares?
Not when he has red in him.
Here's the thing. I think I would have been scared enough the fact that you flew me up that high, that we can be that close to the ozone layer, you know, to the orbit or whatever.
Well, some people just want to be, assholes.
You know, the guy was still being a dick. He's like, oh, yeah, but you're not gonna do anything. The lanterns have restrictions against torture. He's like, okay, hey, look, you can't breathe. Oh, wait, now you can. Oh, now you can't breathe. Oh, now you can.
No, I'm sorry. It was done well. I enjoyed that scene. I'm just saying, personally,
you know,
I would have been scared when he started grabbing me by the head and floating
me
up.
Yeah, but remember, you watch Gossip Girl.
Just imagine how much worse the scene could have been if it was realistic. Because the instant you stuck it up in the vacuum of space, his lungs should have just been sucked out.
Okay, yeah, I mean, Wes, you can't forget that you're a 17-year-old white girl, so.
Exactly.
Wes, your retort?
So the art was pretty good.
He's not going to deny it.
I really
the artwork was well done. It's well done. It's nothing spectacular, I'll say that right now.
No. Nah.
That's wild me yet. It has not wild me yet.
I think it looks good. I don't think it looks like amazing. Like I said last time, he reminds me of a basic version of Ryan Sook. And that the detail is there, the angles are there. It's just that, you know, his action scenes are pretty bland, and, you know, there's nothing so impressive about it. You can tell that he takes panels off. Some aren't quite as good as the others. Like, there's a few pages where Kilowog just looks weird. He doesn't even bother drawing the symbol on Kilowog half the time.
This is why he belongs on Green Lantern, not Emerald Warriors, because, I was going to make a joke. Whatever.
And you failed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Bland art goes with bland writing. I'm sorry. We're recording this 2 hours late because of Frankie.
I'm sorry.
You will know my pain.
That's right. Brought it back to you. What?
Oh, does anyone, no one want to mention that Sotomayor is basically rebelling against the Guardians?
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen that already.
Yes, and I love how the fact that in the future, Guardian. Now, rebelling against
the Guardians. Well, but in the future, he's the only Guardian because he rebelled against the Guardian and got rid of him. See? Makes
except
sense.
For that Guardian baby thing.
I just love picturing somewhere that Gant and the other guys are just all stuffed into walls, just like decoration, kind of like cemented over them. It's like, damn it, we're still immortal! I mean, he can't kill them.
So, is there a specific planet that Yat and all his hippies
apparently they all went to one of the planets of the unknown sectors, which is, you know, crazy happenstance that he so happens to go to the unknown sectors.
Here's my question, why does the unknown sector, it doesn't even make sense. Like, what? Unknown, why?
They tried to explain it during this issue why there was any unknown sector.
No, he gave the Guardians fake explanation. It's like, yeah, no, they're just a-holes. It's basically what he did.
That's right, though. So,
well, I know.
The funny thing about it is that I'm still trying to figure out how's Yat's ring still charged for some reason. I don't know why.
It's charged by Ion.
But he's no longer Ion.
It's probably Kyle's old ring.
Wait, he isn't?
The one that never ends charging.
Yeah, remember, the Ion entity isn't inside of him anymore.
I missed that.
That is true.
That was taken away back in Green Lantern, some issue. Back.
Yeah, not even Core.
I wouldn't know because one thing happened in one book, and then another thing happened in another book, and another thing happened in another book, so I can't keep the goddamn book straight.
It's not that hard.
Continuity heavy.
Oh my God, when Sotomayor was mentioned, talking about how it had enough of the color green and it kept mentioning blue and stuff, I just pictured them taking them all to Odium and giving them like ultra like Superman powers.
I expected that. I really did expect him to land on the Blue Lantern world. And
oh, just imagine how awesome that would have been. Just like power them up to the extreme. Maybe get
a blue sun.
Take Adara out of the little girl because that makes no sense.
Not just any blue star, it's freaking Polaris. It's important.
Oh, yeah.
It's the North Star.
Trying to say take that bird thing out of the little girl.
Out of the little girl who got raped and put it into
Blue. She didn't get raped. She almost got raped. She made it out alive.
So give it to Sodom.
And then give it to Sodom yet.
Him with the Blue Lantern entity and the Green Lantern ring would be deadly.
And then maybe people would care about him more.
But again, people have to. A lot of people are hoping on him now, so I get it.
At least he has a chance at it now.
Yeah, I feel like that'll make more sense and be more make him a more, you know, a less unlikable. Because seriously, there's no point to his existence. Still, he's still just there because Jeff Johns read an old Alan Moore comics like, oh, this is cool. I'm gonna do this.
And thanks to Jeff Johns pretty much integrating him into the future, we're stuck with him for the long haul.
Yeah, it's dumb. Well, I mean, to be fair, future storylines can be rewritten, so...
Come on, Crisis 4! Fix my pain.
0 Hour Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
The all over. Alright, so basically, we're done of our reviews of the previous Green Lantern issues that came out. We're somewhat displeased with Emerald Wars. We're still waiting to see if it picks up its pace a little bit more. Okay. It still has a chance to be a great book, but we still have to see a little bit more. It's taking a little bit too much time just to get to anything that resembles a point.
It's got potential, but it's slow as shit.
So what we're saying is two people read Rebels, and that's the highlight of the week?
It's good.
The book that isn't even technically Green Lantern related.
It's been Green Lantern related for the past like 8 issues. Every issue has had Green Lantern for at least half of the issue.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Justice League, are we?
Society either.
Here's the funny part. We are talking about Brightest Day. That's barely Green Lantern related.
We got one page of Green Lantern and Brightest Day so far.
At least in Brightest Day, there are cores that we can talk about, you know? Entities. One page
is worth the same as half a book?
Okay.
I'm not saying we shouldn't be talking about Rebels.
You finished that sentence, Brandon, and I will destroy you.
I'm not saying we shouldn't be talking about Rebels. I'm just saying it's kind of interesting that the book that isn't technically Green Lantern related at all.
It's the higher point.
It's the highest point of this podcast.
Oh, best read of the week.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. No, because you didn't read it, Wes.
Brandon, stop picking a fight.
of these three books,
better than Return of Bruce Wayne 6.
Yeah, hey please. Now.
Okay, now Colton's picking the
hey
fight.
Now.
I'd say they're about equal. I'm fair.
Oh my god! All right, let's move.
Brandon, don't kill him. Try to hold him back. I'm trying to go. Everybody, I'm sorry. We have to cut the podcast. Brandon, no. Oh god, he's got a gun. Also, be sure to check us out online at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com. You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to check us out next time.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performance of our opening thing, Room Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also, check out the Roy Clark Method, performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at www.freewebs.com/Roy Clark Method.
Magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything, sometimes it speaks to me, it says how, what have you done with your life, people around you keep dying, use your will to right the wrong, and don't make us wait.
Did everybody else see that train of thought that was happening in this issue, right?
The whole slavery issue turns out to be not so bad. The whole slavery issue turns out to be not so bad.
The whole slavery issue turns out to be not so bad.
The whole slavery issue turns out to be not so bad.
Slavery issue not so bad. Slavery not bad.
If you're a true fan, remix that clip. Send your submissions in to kuhan@thegreenlanterncorps.com. That's KUHAN @thegreenlanterncorps.com.